Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Wayne Peters with a message called, We Need to Believe.
There's never been a day like this day. Never. We're making history.
Amen.
And Hebrews talks about generations that couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Let that not be that way with us. We can say, I believe, help my unbelief. But we need to believe. We need to believe that God has got us on a path. We're moving forward. I don't think we'd want to be, if you just look one year back, you'd say, I don't want to go back there. We are moving forward. We are moving forward. In Revelations 2 and 3, we find the message to the churches, to the seven churches. And in all cases, it said, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And God has been talking very clearly to us. And He is telling us that it's not going to be business as usual. The enemy is intensifying. You can see it. You'd have to be absolutely blind not to see it. There's something going on, but God is always prepared. We've heard about light, this camp. Who is that light? Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. There are people that we meet that have not yet seen the light. In other words, and I've said this in Regina one time, you know, there's an electrical panel, there's a light bulb, there's a supply from the hydro pole, there's transformers, there's breakers, there's light switches, there's bulbs, and there can be a break in any one of those, but we are spiritual electricians. When we go out and we help people, we want people to come to the light. We want the light to be on. We had heard about Polycarp and his dedication to Christ and his commitment to God. We've heard about the body. We've heard about the thumb, the hand, the arm attached to the body. And what the Lord told us was about the head. If we're connected to the head, then the thumb can function at its best. It'll do what God wants us to do. Lord's told us that He will be with us. He's doing a new thing. And He's telling us that we can't do it alone. We cannot go alone. Which means that we have to recognize the Christ within one another. We can easily be troubled in this time. We can be afraid. We need the Lord to really come through for us. I'd like to read a scripture in Exodus, the 14th chapter. The Lord spake unto Moses, starting from verse 1, Exodus 14, verse 1. Speak unto the children of Israel, and that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Pharaoh shall say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow them after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts. And the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And he said, why have you done this, that we have let Israel go serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains of every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It's a little sad, isn't it? You know, we can take this position. Are you in a comfort zone? When God starts moving, in this case, things intensified, didn't they? They actually didn't like Moses a lot, because when he came on the scene, things got worse for them. Likely they put in an 8-hour day. These Egyptians liked the productivity that Israel brought to them. They were building their homes and their castles and whatever else they needed. This was their employees. We know that there was all these plagues. There might be a difference of opinion on whether all the plagues, whether the Israelites were immune to all the plagues or whether they were just immune to the last few. But we know for sure that they were not plagued with darkness, and they were not plagued with their firstborn being killed. We do know that. But Israel, when things got intense, they said, you know, we'd rather stay where we are. And I think that's kind of a decision we have to face ourselves. Are we happy to stay where we are? You know, Hebrews 3 and 4 talk about the fact that, you know, they had a great start. They came out of Egypt. They saw the hand of God. They saw tremendous miracles. And this is one thing I can say, that if we're following miracles, they're very short-lived. Very short-lived. They had just barely come through the Red Sea. They had seen all of God's deliverance. They'd seen all the pillar of cloud and fire. They were seeing God's hand day by day. And miraculously, but that wasn't enough. When they came to Moses being up in the mountain, they said to Aaron, and they said about this golden calf, they said, let this be the God that delivered us out of Egypt. So they didn't have any relationship with God. They simply didn't see any difference between this golden calf and God Almighty. It's all about relationship, brothers and sisters. It's all about your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. And watch the hand of the Lord in your own life. See how He's moving. Verse 12 says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." That was their vision. We're coming out of Egypt. God has shown us, and now we're going to go die in the wilderness. Was their God that limited? Is our God that limited? God has talked to us in prophecy this morning and said, you know, He's going to be with us. He's going to be with us. Do we believe that? And Moses said to the people, "Fear you not." Have we heard that? Stand still, or are we going to be busy? You know, I don't want to work for God. You know, people talk about working for God. I'm going to go work for God. I don't want to work for God. I want to work with God. I want to work completely hand in hand with Him. I want His hand in mine, and I want to walk this path that He wants us to walk. "Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more, ever." That would be a little bit hard to believe. There's a lot of things that are hard to believe for us today. I'm not talking about this history. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about this hour that we're living in. I'm talking about right now. Were they going to believe what Moses said? Or were they going to go with what they feel? If you're going to go with how you feel, you're going to go in many different directions. But we don't work solo. And God's asking us to work less solo now than ever in our life. You can see that we get together. I may think that I have the mind of the Lord, but I need confirmation. The Word of God says by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And we need confirmation. People ask me, "Don't you trust me?" I say, "I don't. I don't even trust myself. I don't know what I'm going to be like if somebody backs me into a corner. You know, I don't know about my decision as Polycarp. You know, they've got the fire relit and they're going to start roasting me." You say, you could maybe be a little like Peter and say, "Well, I'd never do this." Well, hours later, he did it. Don't you trust me? The bottom line is, I don't trust me. And I know that I need my brother and sister in order to get the true light. I can tell you this, that I have a cell phone that has a light, for which I'm very thankful for. Anybody else thankful for that? Amen. Yeah. You know, you're looking to put your key in the door. But you know, if you get two lights, you got a lot more light, don't you? And as we get together, there's a lot of light. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you. Has He changed? The Word of God says, so this is what you can trust. God says, "I never change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." And for those that may struggle a little bit with condemnation, you condemn yourself because of things that you've done, And we've been prophesied over, and sometimes I think if God would have known then what I'm doing now, he would have never said those things. You ever feel that way? The real reality of it is that he already knew that. Did you ever know that there's no surprises with God? He's never surprised. Because he knows everything about everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And he says, oh, now Steve or Wayne or John, this is where they are, but this is, I see the end. Because he looks from a much higher level. God doesn't want us to be walking in condemnation. Because if you walk in condemnation, the enemy has you bound to a certain extent. And the Lord wants to set us all free. You know, the Lord talked to us this morning and he said, you know, I'm not quite finished doing business with you. Right? Did anybody hear that? So, there's not going to be an altar call this morning. But if God is God and we believe what he said and we hear prophecy and we follow his guidance, then there may be an opportunity here for us to do more business with God. God wants you to come out of this camp 100% free. Did you hear me? 98%? 100%. God wants us 100% clear, free from all bondage. The Lord will fight for you, verse 14, and you shall hold your peace. You know, there's a scripture that says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When does it get hard? Well, first of all, when you're in the harness alone. So does God want us in a harness at all? The scripture says yes. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. God wants to put you in the harness, but he's going to do 98% of the pulling. We're kind of like along for the ride. But it's wonderful that he is greater than any circumstance that we can ever face. The Lord said in verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So this is a little bit of an interesting line here, isn't it? Moses is going to God. God says, you already know what to do. And so do we. To a certain extent, we know. You know, God wants us to recognize the body more than we have ever known. I don't know if this fits here, but elders, you don't have to open in prayer. You don't have to pray for all the sick. You don't have to do all the things that you do. What you can do is you can employ or utilize the gifts and ministries that are in your midst. You know, my wife and I, we really depend on each other. She has the gift of the word of knowledge. And knowledge is really good. But I have a gift of discernment. So I have to discern whether her knowledge is her own. I hope I'm not in trouble right now. But we came into a circumstance where it was just a casual time in Winkler, small town, less than maybe at that time 7,000 people. What do you do on Saturday night? You cruise. And then there's the creamy parking lot. And then if you get tired of cruising, or you see your gas tank is getting closer to empty and your wallet's emptier, you stop and then you wait for somebody else to pull up and turn their window down and you start talking through the window. And then eventually if somebody's tank is fuller than yours, then you jump into their car and then you cruise some more. You younger generation have no idea about any of this stuff, you know. This is old-timer stuff, right? But I crank the window down and this girl's, you know, it's kind of a rare thing that a girl would stop, but she did. And she had this half ton and she started talking about her situation and she told me that, you know what she experienced. And I said, you have a power that's abnormal. Nobody can do what you're doing. Like she would wake up and her pillow was torn in half and there was feathers everywhere. And I'm a guy, and you know we have pillow fights sometimes, right? Maybe not anymore, but back in the day when we were cruising, that's what we did. I said, I've never torn a pillow with two guys. I said, you know, that sounds like an abnormal power, so maybe we should, you want prayer for that? And because of how this is affecting your life. And she said, yeah. So we took her home, I took her to my place. I phoned Ron and Mary Dorn, and I said, I mean, this is 11:30 at night. So I said, well, I'll call some people. I call Ron and Mary Dorn and I asked them, like, would you, I got this gal here at my place and she's got some strange powers that I think are troubling her, and would you be interested in coming and praying here? Here's what they said. We're going to pray about it. They're already in bed. We're going to pray about it, and we're going to call you back in 5 to 10 minutes. They called me back in 5 to 10 minutes, and they said, we're coming. So all of a sudden, you know, like, I had this situation where this gal was telling me the honest truth. She was telling me what her experience was and so on. And then Ron and Mary get there, and we get a completely different person. You know, there's no problem. You know, we sit her down on a chair, and we you know, like, there's no problem here. And I thought, wow, you know, I have wasted Ron and Mary's time. I have come here. There's nothing to it. But then what we did is we sat her down, we circled, and we got around in a circle, and we began to pray and praise the Lord. Did the Lord tell us to praise the Lord this morning? Yeah. See, God is serious. God means what He says. And so we began to enter into His prayer, into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. And so this takes effort, saints of God. This walk with God is not on cruise control. This walk with God takes effort and energy. Dying doesn't come easy. Our flesh just wants business as usual. Let's stay in Egypt. Let's just put in our 8 hours. Let's go with the flow. Let's do how we've done it. We're entering into the presence of the Lord because only the Lord knows what's going on. And we don't know what's going on, But we know who's going, who knows what's going on, and it's Him that has to reveal what's going on. And so we began to praise the Lord, and if you think that the laying on of hands has no meaning, she's facing that way, and I'm behind her, and Ronna Mary and Dave Clausen, they're around here, so Dave can testify of what I'm talking about here. And I'm behind her, and how many know that we don't have eyes in the back of our head? Okay, so I'm moving my hand to her shoulder, and I was going to lay my hands on her. You know, in the scriptures talks about don't lay hands suddenly on anyone. And before my hand could even get to her shoulder, she turned around and wanted to bite me. And I won't tell you all the other stuff that happened there. It was a manifestation of the enemy of our soul. He hasn't changed either. He has one agenda, and that is death. He wants you to die. He wants you discouraged. He wants you to die inside. He wants you to die outside. But I was there discerning a problem. Sister Dorn had been prophesied over for the gift of faith. And there was knowledge there. A gift of knowledge. Why am I telling you this? I can tell you why I'm telling you this. I want the church to start operating in this realm. Not I. We. Having discerned, there was tremendous doubt and fear. If you've ever heard the devil talk, I heard him talk through her. And he said, "You shall all die." And that voice came from some deep freeze that we don't even know about yet. It was a deep freeze at the North Pole. It was very, very intense. And having somebody there with the gift of faith, that deliverance may never have happened without somebody there with the gift of faith. Could I go it alone? Absolutely not. Not a chance. And I tell you, I could stand here a long time and tell you stories like this. I really could. But the point is not about my stories. The point is, what's the rest of the story? What is God wanting from us today? We gather together, we commune together, and we begin to say, what is the Spirit saying to the church? Should Kelvin be up here? Should Wayne be up here? Who should be up here? You know, we've talked about the things that are on our hearts and minds, but when is the right time for this to happen? You can have the right thing at the wrong time, which is not good. But I just want to say that we need each other. We really, really need each other. And you know, we could read the rest of this story. The one thing I want to read a couple more scriptures, but this scripture here tells us that God made a cloud, a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire. The Egyptians are chasing Israel. They're not happy. You think the devil's happy that he's going to lose a whole bunch of employees? No, I could tell you, he's not happy. Because a lot of times we're working for him. And we're done, aren't we? Do we want to be done? You know, there is a certain amount of respect, but we know this. Satan has lost the battle. He was in heaven. He was the morning star. But he has lost that position. Jesus saw. I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. It's been said from this pulpit here, he is the defeated foe that now reigns. He's the prince. He has the power of the air. The sons of God, which is what God is working with us in, they're working on a different plan. We're working on the other side. You know, this is the thing that if the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New, we have come out of Egypt. There's a pillar of fire and a cloud that allows the enemy, and we heard it yesterday, that Satan, his parameters are set by God. Amen? And he is only able to go as far as God allows him to go. There was a pillar of fire and a cloud so that held Satan at bay. They couldn't come. They couldn't even see them. And you know, in today's world, you know, AI is becoming a thing. There's a lot of advancements. AI could be good. It can be, everything that's good has a real negative side to it, right? You know, internet is good, but it's got a tremendous, it has put more people in bondage than at liberty, I think. But the enemy is using all of these things, advances of technology, they've all been good. There's lots of good in it, but there's lots and lots of bad. And I'm thinking about, you know, your phones are following you. You know, like who's listening? Who's following? And you know, immediately fear could come in. But here's what I've come to terms with in my own heart. You know, there was a time when there was so much unity in carnality that they were going to build a stairway to heaven. You can have unity in carnality. But the God scrambled the signal. You hear me? God scrambled the signal. And we're still suffering from that. Even though Google Translate wants to help us out a lot. I'm looking way beyond Google. How about you? It starts with a G and it's capitalized. And that's God Almighty. God Almighty. You know, I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. You can fear what's before you. And you know, the enemy of our soul would love to tangle us up with all kinds. You know, what do you think about the gay movement? What do you think about LGBTQ? You know what? That's a sideshow. You can get involved and you can waste your time, but it is exactly that. It's a waste of time. I'm not going to focus a lot on that, saints of God. I'm going to focus on what the Spirit is going to say to the church. I'll tell you one thing, if we're going to follow the path that the enemy of our soul is going to lead us down, we are going to walk in fear. You're going to have anxiety. But God is He said, unto us a child is born. His name is going to be Wonderful. His name is going to be Counselor. His name is going to be the Prince of Peace. When? Amen. Today. Today. Tomorrow. With God, it's always today because He's the I Am. Always today. Today, when you hear His voice. What I want to talk about in Isaiah 14 is about the spirit that Lucifer has. I think we've all heard about the word Antichrist, right? A lot of people get a little bit excited about that. They want to jump into Revelations, and they want to, you know what Antichrist means? Opponent of the Messiah. Who's the Messiah? Jesus Christ. He came, died on the cross for us, gave His life on Calvary to set you free, give you a different spirit. What I tend to think about the opponent of the Messiah, I'll put in two words. Independence and control. Anybody like to be in control? You ever have any arguments at home? Who's going to win this one? Isaiah 14, verse 13 says, "For thou hast said in your heart," you don't even have to say it. You have to think it. When I listen to people talking, whatever they say that's not good, I think, how sad. This is what's in the heart. This is what's in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, didst weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They shall see you, and shall look narrowly, look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake the kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of the prisoners? There you have it. There's the description of Lucifer. You know, he was the morning star. Was there anything lacking in his life? I'd say not. But the way I envision it is that God's plan, this is not plan B. He didn't say, I think I'm going to make man. God wanted to make man from the beginning. And He wanted man to rule and reign in this earth. We are on this path that God has originated from our, this is His original plan. And the angels are ministering spirits, right? They're ministering spirits upon us. And so I envision it like this. Lucifer says, we're just angels here, and we're going to, God's going to make man, and they're going to serve us. Doesn't the scripture say we're going to judge angels? So we're going to be servants to mankind, which is a low species coming out of the dirt. That's how God formed us. And He said, I don't think We want to do that. I don't think I'm interested in serving man. So he has a meeting with all the rest of the angels, and he said, you know, here's God's plan. Here's my new plan. I've got a devised plan. What do you guys think? And the angels, one third of the angels said, yeah, sounds like a fair plan. You know, let's have our own plan. And the enemy has an authority, and God has greater authority. And so these angels that fell that day and made the decision to follow Lucifer, they became demons. And there's all kinds of them. All kinds of them. And we are, when it came down to Jesus, and he's going across the sea, and there's the storm and all that, he gets there, and then this man, and I was wondering about Jesus, you know, like Jesus, he didn't always go looking for things, but this man came to him. And he says, you know, he gets delivered, right? He says to him, what's your name? He says, Legion, for we are many. So the demon said, if you cast us out, and there was how many pigs? 1,000? Or 2,000? Even thousands, lots, right? Each one of those pigs, a demon was imparted to them. And you know the result of that? They ran into the water and drowned there. You know, the enemy, these demonic forces, they love to inhabit something. They don't even care what it is. But let us have nothing to do with that realm. You know, people get into all kinds of things. They get into witchcraft, they get into astrology and whatever. There's power there, but why would you want to deal with a power that's at a loss when you can have power that is on the winning side? You know, Jesus, he won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. You know, to follow him, you know, and so the reason I'm talking about this passage in Isaiah is because when we go to Africa, for example, oh, you're from North America. Wow, you know, we want to be like you. Well, you know, we want to be like you. Why do they want to be like us? You know, money, you know, lots of independence. Independence. You know, there's something in the heart of man that wants to be independent. We want to have our own lawnmower. We want to have our own tiller. We want to have our own everything. Everything, we want to make a fence. This is my yard. You know, independence. God is wanting to get away from our independence. He wants us to leave our independence behind. I'm not saying that you should come and ask for my tiller. I want independence on my own terms, you know. But independence is an enemy of God. When you think about it in these terms, let us be dependent on our brother and sister. I'd say, elders, learn the gifts and ministries that are in the flock that you are in. When you see a need, match the right ministry and the gift with the thing that is necessary to be done. God wants us to move on. It's not going to be business as usual. It's going to be like what we talked about here in chapter 14 of Exodus. We're moving on. We are moving on. The church is moving on.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.